The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m., and if you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
As you know, we're sort of at the beginning of a series that we're doing called it, I've entitled it, If You Can Keep It. And I want to give you just a little brief intro that I do each week is kind of refresh our minds as to where we're going. So when we get there, we'll know that's where we wanted to go. So anyway, Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. I'll just read this for you. The Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. The Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And for when you eat of it, you will certainly die." You know, I've discovered through the years that the first six chapters of the book of Genesis hold the embryo of virtually every other thought that's throughout the scriptures, and it's a good place to spend time. And I'm always amazed when I go there looking that the things that I find. And in the topic of government and religion and their interaction with one another, I selected this because it's the essence of government and the function of man is described in that passage that I just read to you. God put man in the garden. In much the same way, he put us here in America. I spoke to Christopher Columbus, and you know, I've talked to you about that before, that he felt compelled by God and wrote in his diary that God was directing him to do something bigger than himself. The pilgrims who came here, led by God, and so many others of our founding fathers through the testimonies refer to them. So I believe that as God put Adam in the garden, I think he put us here. God entrusted the garden into Adam's hands in the same way that government and our nation is entrusted to our hands. He said, work it and take care of it. We have a duty to do here. We're not just picking the flowers, but we're actually involved and should be involved in the system. The garden was Adam's responsibility, and I believe as citizens, our country is our responsibility. God entrusted the garden to him to work. That's a good four-letter word, and we need to be involved. I think we're seeing much of the fallout of us not working, of us being absent and not doing the things that we could do. And the other thing is that God established freedom. He said to Adam, "You are free." So there's the first essence of freedom, that God provides freedom for us. And so, but freedom is a precious commodity, not that you only get, but you must maintain it. There's a work to be done. God established law and order. He said, but you must not. So there are rules. Freedom is not the license to do whatever you want to do. It's the liberty to do what you should do and what must be done. And finally, God acknowledged that freedom could die and that men could die with it. Said, when you eat of that tree, you will certainly die. So freedom is a fleeting thing that we maintain and keep alive. And we could lose it. It could disappear from the face of the earth. So with that thought in mind, freedom for men in governments is very tenuous. When you look back in history, if you study a little bit, and I've been doing quite a bit of studying recently and reading some books about this very thing, is that we're not very old. We're just a couple of kids on the block when you look at our nation. And there was great doubt among the founding fathers as to how long it would last. So it's important for us to keep that in mind. The title for this series came from those of you who have been here before know this, but when Benjamin Franklin, after the adoption of our Constitution in 1787, when they walked out, he was asked by a woman, evidently she knew him. She said, "Well, doctor, what have we got, a republic or a monarchy?" And he responded, and the way that you read it, you think he almost quipped it. He said, "A republic, madam, if you can keep it." And therein lies the truth. If you can keep this thing that's been entrusted to us, and I think we've been negligent in many ways. And so that's what inspires me to talk about this subject as much as I possibly can. I'm not real big about reading things, but I want to read something for you that I wrote. And the reason for reading it, because Jim's going to be recording it, and I'd like for it to put it on the radio in one of our programs that we call Grace Points. And it says this: if freedom is delivered to us by our founding fathers fails, religious freedom as delivered to us in America will fail too. Christianity will be forced underground and martyrdom will once again fill Fox's Book of Martyrs. It will be the epic book, Acts 2. And if religious freedom is delivered to us in America fails, freedom as delivered to us will fail and godless oppression will run roughshod over American citizens. A government devoid of moral and spiritual character will establish itself. So, it becomes incumbent on us, you and me and everyone else, to be joined together in our responsibilities as we, the people of God, entrusted with the gospel, and we, the people of America, entrusted with American freedom, to boldly speak on God and government and to bring to light our interdependence upon each other. And I want to stand in some measure, as we stand on this narrow precipice of history, the depths of the cry of the first New Testament prophet, John the Baptizer, and what it means to be a voice crying in the wilderness. In the weeks ahead, I hope to weave a tapestry of biblical and historical facts and truth and make a defensible argument that American freedom and America's freedom of religion will be here only if we heed the admonition of Benjamin Franklin concerning our nation, if we can keep it. The question begs, will we? Only history will tell the story of whether we did or didn't. So that's the subject, and that's the topic that we're dealing with here and at this time. And I thought it appropriate to invite Dr. Charles Preston, St. Tammany coroner, to come and speak. He was asked to speak at the National Day of Prayer at the first Mayor's Prayer Breakfast in Pearl River, and he spoke on this subject. Unfortunately, I wasn't there, but I heard so many good reports that I wanted to hear it myself firsthand, and I wanted you to hear it. I wanted you to get exposed to this this godly man. He spent most of his life as a physician, working in the emergency rooms. He worked in charity, I believe, down in New Orleans for a while. For that, you get to go to heaven. I mean, that is, I've been down there, and boy, that is, wow, that is a job. And he's actually worked over here in St. Tammany in that same arena of emergency medicine and also as an urgent care physician. So he's been around for a while, and he might tell you a little more about himself. He ran for political office to fulfill the unexpired term of a former coroner who sadly left office in shame. So he's filled in that, and he ran again and was reelected just last year for his first full-time position as our coroner. He had a vision to help people. He cares about people. If you talk to him at all, you find he loves God and loves people. You know, he just really does. He's got a heart for people. And it's one of the things that I really appreciate about him and knowing him as an individual. One of the things that he did was realizing the need to help people in the worst time of their lives when they lose a loved one under not the best of circumstances, and to have someone there. And he created the St. Tammany Chaplains Corps, which goes out every time someone dies in our parish from an accident or suicide or under certain circumstances. There's a coroner chaplain that goes out to be with the family. That was his vision, and we had the privilege of helping him put that together. So I think it's appropriate to ask him to come and be a part of our fellowship. I told him before we came out here, just say whatever you want. We've got no restrictions. I'm not worried about my 501c3, mostly because I don't have one. I'm using somebody else's, all right. Our mother church, Resurrection Life in Picayune. His lovely wife, Lisa, is here, and she's a joy. These two guys are together all the time. Whenever I see that big old Suburban, I guess that is, or the big SUV drive up, it's Dr. Preston and his wife. She is also a physician, so I guess they can talk shop, or maybe they don't talk shop. I have no idea. So with that said, we have a man of spiritual character, many talents and abilities, and he's volunteered to be a speaker for us today. So with that said and done, why don't we give Dr. Preston a big welcome in the Slidell.
This isn't too close to my mouth.
Okay, don't fix it.
I just wanted to point out right before you mention Jay Adair here, who's running for judge and works for the DA's office, my wife had to leave. It wasn't because she recognized him. The alarm went off at our house. So she just went to turn off the alarm, and she'll be back, I hope, because she's my ride, and otherwise I'll be hanging out with you guys all day. Well, thank you, Pastor St. Angelo. You know, I know him better as Brother Morris. It is really my privilege to be here. I want to begin my remarks by giving thanks. By giving thanks first and foremost to God the Father, who gave me breath this morning and the energy to show up and to have the privilege of being here with all of you. Next, I want to give thanks to Pastor Morris for his gracious invitation to speak here this morning. As he already mentioned to you, I am recycling these remarks from the Pearl River Prayer Breakfast. And so if you were there at that, this is going to sound very, very similar because I'm using the same notes. And I was hoping that my wife would be here so I could embarrass her to give her thanks as well. My wife is definitely the best half. She makes sure that I am where I need to be, when I need to be, and doing the things that I need to do. And I say, if you take one look at her and one look at me, there is proof positive that there is a God and He loves me. I will admit to you right now that while I feel very honored and very humbled to be here and have this opportunity to address you, I also consider myself probably one of the least qualified people to do this. I am not a sophisticated orator, and so I have to depend on notes to keep my thoughts straight. I still consider myself a novice as far as an elected official goes. My degrees are in psychology, chemistry, and medicine, not in history, and I am clearly no Bible scholar for sure, even though I will say I have read the Bible start to finish like a novel 3 times, and I go through it almost every day as well, and every day it feels like it's a brand new book, that it's something new to talk to me every single day. So not having the historical background and not being the Bible scholar, all I can do is to give you my opinion as I see it from my heart. I particularly want to thank Pastor Morris for the incredible work he does in this community, from his ministry here at New Beginnings Church to his work as an author every week in the paper and the wonderful book that he's written, and especially for the work that he does in the chaplain corps at the coroner's office. And I'm very happy to see a few faces I recognize from the chaplain corps here. I think the chaplain corps is the perfect example of how church and state work together, hand in glove, to form a symbiotic relationship to promote both of those purposes. Mm-hmm. 3 years ago, I was elected coroner in a special election, as Port Morris St. Angelo mentioned. And my wife, Dr. Lisa Leonard, and I participated in a suicide prevention course through the St. Tammany Outreach for the Prevention of Suicide called Safe Talk. And I will just put a little commercial in here that we are sponsoring one of those courses coming up within the next couple of weeks at the coroner's office. For a $35 investment, you get the skills to kind of rip away the insecurity you may have in addressing this issue. You're given ways and mechanisms to talk to people who may be considering suicide, and most importantly, you're giving tools to help keep that person safe. The most important thing is you will never convince somebody to commit suicide by addressing the subject, but you may well save their life. When I participated in this course, I met a woman who was the instructor, Virginia, whose son had committed suicide, and she talked about the genesis of the Lost Team. The Lost Team goes out to be with people who are the survivors of suicide to offer emotional support. She said, you know, the emergency medicine services come up and they're very kind and very nice, and then law enforcement comes up and they're very professional. The coroner's office come up and they're compassionate and respectful. But when the body is loaded into the van, the crime scene is cut, everybody leaves, and the family is left alone with nothing but questions and sorrow. And so that's where the Lost Team steps in to give them emotional support. I remember that during that course, God put the thought in my heart, just like he was sending a telegraph to my brain, that says, that's great for the survivors of suicide, but what about the other 300 families a year who suffer a sudden, unexpected loss? Who is there for them? And then he placed on my heart the idea of forming the chaplain corps that would respond to all unexpected deaths. And I have to admit, all he gave me was the thought. He didn't give me the roadmap that I needed to make it happen. And so I did what I learned to do as an emergency physician. I got a consult from an expert. So I went to Pastor Don Bryan of the First Pentecostal Church here in Slidell, and I pitched the idea to him. And I talked about sort of broad brush issues that I wanted to be able to address. Within a few days, he and Pastor Toby Pittman from Pearl River were in my office, and we discussed our collective vision of what the chaplain corps for the coroner's office may be. It seemed perfectly logical to me to use ministers as chaplains because they are already trained in grief counseling and they have the skill set to have open ears and compassionate hearts, which are the skills that are really needed to deal with people who are in crisis. Especially for these people who are often having the very worst day of their life. And then it seemed like magic, meaning work done by people that I couldn't see, like Pastor Bryan, Pastor San Angelo, Pastor Riles, Pastor Pittman, that within weeks we had a corps of dedicated volunteer chaplains who were brought together and made themselves available at a moment's notice to minister to families in crisis. Each chaplain receives additional training other than the training they bring to the table as ministers. They're trained in crisis intervention and stress management. They take the ethics course from the Louisiana Board of Ethics. They take a course from the FBI on death notification. And they continue their education with quarterly meetings, which both take care of business but always also have an educational component. The energy and spirit and love that these people bring to the coroner's office and to St. Tammany Parish is just immeasurable. And I will tell you, the dedication of these men and women is astounding and heartwarming to me. They aim to have two chaplains on call every day, one to cover the east side, one to cover the west side, in order to cut down response times. But when the need is great, such as recently when a toddler was run over by a delivery truck or a teen drowned in Mandeville, the on-call chaplain reaches out to his brothers and sisters in Christ. And just like in Mark chapter 6, where the fish and loaves multiply and they keep coming and they keep coming until the need is met and there's some love left over. Particularly at this tragedy in Slidell, I will tell you that it was a very, very hot scene, so to speak. There was a lot of emotion going on. A lot of people were upset. And it was like giving the crowd a mass sedative when the chaplain showed up and began to pray. Because I think, for the most part, everybody has the Lord in their heart and just needs some help sometimes finding him in the times of tragedy. I would mention, we make no attempt to match the denomination of the chaplain with the denomination of the person in crisis. For example, we recently had an untimely death of a young white Jewish male in Mandeville, and a Black Baptist chaplain showed up to minister to the family. And within moments, they were holding hands and they were praying together to the same God. And within days, through mutual friends, I got the response back that the family really only remembered the interaction with that chaplain. And they were so grateful and so thankful to have somebody to lean on spiritually and emotionally. And it really helped to calm the situation. In fact, I have never received anything but accolades about the work of the Chaplain Corps. And stories like this are legion. However, no sooner had we formed the Chaplain Corps and I gave a press release, a newspaper reporter from New Orleans challenged me and said, "Aren't you worried this violates the premise of separation of church and state? Aren't you worried the ACLU is going to sue you?" And my immediate answer was no to both questions, because I felt in my heart that what we were doing was right. It was right for our office. It was right for the people of St. Tammany Parish. And then I had a second thought and did a little research. And I start with the First Amendment of the Constitution, which says, "Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof." Of course, I feel like the "or prohibiting the exercise free of thereof" gave me the license to start the Chaplain Corps. The Constitution never uses the term separation of church and state. This term is widely attributed to Thomas Jefferson, who, in an address to the Danbury Baptist Association in Connecticut on January 1, 1802, said, and I quote, "I contemplate with sovereign reverence that the act of the whole American people, which declared the legislature should make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, thus building a wall of separation of church and state." I am certainly not in the position to argue the Constitution with Thomas Jefferson, but I think that in this case, he was not really interpreting it exactly correct. In Article 6 of the Constitution, it specifies that no religious test shall ever be required as a qualification to any office or public trust under the United States. To me, and while I'm no legal scholar, I think these two articles do not prohibit the exercise of religion by state actors or the government. It is a prohibition against the state mandating that a certain religion be the national religion, or that there be a religious test to run for office. Having said that, I really consider the whole separation of government and state as a really false premise, because it assumes the government is some amorphous thing. It's a something, and it's not. It's a group of individual people who hold their own individual beliefs. The government is not a what, it is a who. I am the government. With my Christian faith, my daily prayers, I am the government. I will say I probably pray more now that I'm an elected official and I face some very difficult decisions sometimes, and I readily turn to God the Father to answer the questions for me. Representative Greg Cromer, for whom I have the greatest respect, is the government. He was instrumental in launching my service is in public service. And he and his lovely wife, Peggy, don't just speak the gospel truth. They show their love for the Lord and each other through the way they live their lives and with respect for the gospel truth. Pat Brister is the government. And whether you love or hate her politics, she is an authentic, pious woman of God that recognizes, more importantly than being a public servant, she is a servant of the Lord. She leads a prayer group of North Shore leaders every month that brings together community leaders from the executive, legislative, and judicial branch of the government, with business leaders led by Dr. Michael Sprague, who you might remember was the reverend who was recently booed at a Cassidy rally for mentioning the name of Jesus. Now, that was some unhappy people that could boo the name of Jesus. I will tell you that I had a similar experience last week when I went to Bill Cassidy's town hall meeting here in St. Tammany Parish. Right behind me, when Dr. Sprague got up to say the invocation, the woman said, "That violates the separation of church and state." And of course, I wanted to turn around and give her this speech, but I thought it was ill-advised. But to go to the character of this person, the next thing we did was to stand, place our hands over our heart, and say the Pledge of Allegiance. And she said, "I'm not standing for that flag." So you wonder, what does she stand for? And she was one that felt free to call out throughout the time of Cassidy's remark. She was more interested in disrupting than in learning and listening. And I think that that really went to the character of who that person was. But every month, Pat Brister and Dr. Sprague bring together business leaders, government leaders, and help us to refocus on the idea that we are servants. We are servants of the people, and we are servants of God. Mayor Mike Cooper, who hosted the prayer breakfast in Covington recently at St. Paul's, is the government. He regularly attends the North Shore prayer breakfasts, and I will tell you, he leads by example of how a Christian should live. He has an open and loving heart, and at every meeting that I attend with Mike, he begins the meeting with open prayer. And one of my favorite people, Mayor Freddie Drennan, is the government. I remember approaching Mayor Drennan the day that I decided to announce my candidacy for coroner, and little did I know I was the third doctor that day who approached him about running. I guess he was a little tired of hearing how many doctors were going to be running for it, and he gave me some sage advice. He looked me right in the face and he said, "Don't do it. Your life will be public. You'll be under a microscope. You'll have no privacy. Anywhere you go, people feel they have the right to come up and talk to you." Well, you know, during my campaign, I published my cell phone number. So I wanted people to feel like they had the right to talk to me, and I still have the same number, and when people call me, and whenever I can, I answer that phone. So when he realized that I wasn't going to follow his advice, then he took me by the hand and he helped me navigate the campaign trail. Earlier in the month, he hosted a meeting in Slidell in Heritage Park for the National Day of Prayer. In fact, the music on that day sounded very familiar to the music I was hearing today. And he meets every month with religious leaders for a prayer breakfast in Slidell. He is a man of God. He has taught me not only is it okay to exercise your religion as an elected official, it is recommended to keep us focused on who we are really serving and what our jobs are as servants of the people and servants of the Lord. The list goes on and on. D.A. Warren Montgomery, I had an interaction with him recently about a mutual family friend that was facing a sentence for a crime that he committed. And Warren said he delayed his sentencing because he wanted to pray upon what his sentencing philosophy would be. So I know that he turns to the Lord for guidance. Sheriff Randy Smith is a man of God. Yes. Superintendent Trey Fulce, Clerk of Court Melissa Henry, the 22nd Judicial District Court, the Parish Council, all openly pray at their meetings. I have to say, I have never met a public official that I did not think had a sincere love of the Lord. My point is, the government is not a thing. It is individuals that we as a community elect to represent our interest, including our interest in the Lord. About 15 years ago, my wife Lisa and I attended a prayer service for teachers. One of the teachers told me that at the beginning of every school year, she prayed and anointed each child's desks, and she prayed for their success and for their safety. I kind of chided her a little tongue-in-cheek and said, "Well, I thought you couldn't pray in public schools." And she looked at me coyly and she said, "Doctor, as long as teachers give tests, there will be prayer in public schools." Likewise, I think as long as we continue to elect prayerful representatives, public servants, God will not separate his merciful love from our government. Finally, I will share with you my personal daily prayer. Dear Lord of infinite mercy, grant us peace in our hearts, peace in our homes, and peace in this world. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for your time and attention. And at this point, I will take some questions if anybody has questions. In that case, thank God again.
Amen. Amen. Wow, that was great. Thank you, Dr. Preston. You can see why I speak so highly of him around here. There's something wonderful happening in St. Tammany Parish. We live in an anomaly. We live in a cocoon. We live in a place where God has seen fit to open the windows of heaven and pour out blessings upon us. Much of the good life that we enjoy has to do with people like Charles Preston. They make a difference. You know, one of the things that some of you heard the story, but I'm going to repeat it because I think it's important. I was very despondent about where we were going as a nation in 2012. I felt things were going in the wrong direction, and I had done everything everybody said to do to try to change it. I wrote letters. I called people. I tried to turn the ship of Washington, D.C. That ship wasn't turning for me. I couldn't get a thing done, and I was frustrated about it. And I was praying. Some of you were here with me that night. It was a night as we were praying for the upcoming presidential election. And I just heard God speak to me. And, Doctor, you know that voice when he speaks. And he said, "Stop worrying about Washington, D.C., and get busy in Slidell." It was an epiphany. I mean, it was just, it just made such good sense. And so I decided to do that. The next day, I saw Bill Borchert, who was a reluctant politician. If you know Bill, God directed him to run for city council. And I said, "Bill, didn't I hear Mayor Drennan mention when he had his inaugural address something about wanting to have a prayer meeting?" And he said, "Yes, he did." I said, "I wonder what became of that." He said, "I'll find out." That evening, Bill called me and said, "The mayor wants to meet with us about putting on an annual prayer breakfast here in Slidell." Within 6 weeks, we put that thing together. I mean, it was amazing. But one of the things that came up and this is why I'm telling you that story, was the idea of mayors from the surrounding area praying. The mayor wanted to include other people. And he wanted it to be Christ-centered. He said, if it doesn't speak about Jesus, I don't want to do it. So that, you know, I can amen that all day long. So, but the idea came of having, because sometimes people are, you know, have difficulty speaking in public and praying. So we got the idea of reading the founding fathers' prayers and sayings, and which we did. It has become a hallmark of what we do on the annual day of prayer here in Slidell. And the amazing thing is, two things. The first time we did it, it's happened since then, people came up to me and said, I had no idea our founding fathers believed those things. They have been exposed to revisionist history, and the truth had slipped away. People said it with tears in their eyes. They were so moved by words from ancient men long dead in their grave who served and set a foundation and a platform for us. Things have changed. Maybe it's just me that changed since 2012. But I've seen things change, and God opened opportunities and doors. Those of you here at New Beginnings Church know that I was minding my own business, more busy than I knew how to be doing what I was doing. And Marion and Sidney Collins asked me if I wanted to have a radio station. And I said, of course not. What would I do with a radio station? I don't know anything about radio. And they explained the reason why they had to divest themselves of the low-powered station. And they said, it just reaches Slidell. And I heard the still, small voice of God say, it's Slidell, Morris. It's Slidell. And I tried to get talk God out of it, and I couldn't. And the rest is history, because, as you know, we took over the radio station. We still don't know what we're doing, but it's on the air every day. And we're making a difference. Bob is here, and through Bob's program, Voices, we're bringing the voices of people, elected officials, and significant people, just everyday people in our community, talking about Christ and what their passion is. Don O'Brien, as you mentioned, came to me with Jerry Johnson and said, Morris, how would you like to take over the Slidell Ministerial Alliance? And I said, of course not. I don't want to do that. I've got two. I already had a radio station. I had other things going. And he said, we really would like you to do it. And I said, I'll pray, which you've heard me say. I'll pray about it as code word for me and say, ain't no way this is going to happen. And I've been around church people long enough to know you ask them to do something. They said, well, let me pray about it. That means they're not going to do it. All right? So I'd use that same ploy myself. Again, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, it's Slidell. So I went to see Don O'Brien. Jerry had moved out of town, and I guess he was scared. And it had been several months it expired. And I knew somebody else had taken the job, and I asked Don O'Brien, I said, are you still interested in me doing the Slidell Ministerial Alliance? And he said, yes. And I thought, darn. And so I said, okay, I'll be willing to do it. And again, for some of you, this is a repeat, but I just think it's so funny. And I asked Brother Donald, so can you give me a list of membership? He said, we don't have any membership. I said, oh. Well, being a computer guy, I like things in writing. And said, can you give me the bylaws? He said, we don't have any bylaws. And then I asked a big question. I said, do you have a checkbook? He said, no. So I said, Donald, are you telling me you want me to take over something that's got no membership, it's got no bylaws, and it's got no money? And he just laughed. He said, well, I didn't think about it like that, but I guess that's what it is. And so what I did, just like Dr. Preston, just take the wheels of progress and change them. And I changed the name from the Slidell Ministerial Alliance, which has a connotation of the clergy. And I wanted to include other people. I wanted ministers, whether they're public officials, whether they work in their church teaching kids, whether they're involved in the community, whatever they may be doing, and feel called of God to do that, I wanted to open that door to ministers. So I changed the name to the Slidell Ministers Association, opened the doors, and it has been an outstanding success. And we have many people from all different walks of life who are involved in that group making a difference here in Slidell. So why did I say all that? Because one person can make a difference. You can make a difference. What is God speaking to your heart about? Just do what you can. Don't worry about turning the ship. God will turn the ship. God will make things different. And I believe we're seeing the fruit of people like Bill Borchert, Chuck Preston, Mayor Drennan, Bill, you know, the list goes on and on, who have put their hand to the plow without fear, without trepidation. If the ACLU wants to take a shot, as the mayor said, and as you just said, Dr. Preston, take your best shot. Do whatever you need to do. We must, this sounds too harsh for me. We need to take our country back and we need to take our city back. You know, that's antagonistic. I just say, we just want to make a difference. We just want to bring Christ in. We want to be involved in the system. We want to encourage people. It's like Jay when he came to see me. I want to encourage a young man like Jay. If you feel God calling you for office, just do it, because you will make a difference. When you're willing to pray, either privately or publicly, when you're willing to expound on what we are as a nation, I don't believe it's too late. But I believe it is too late if we won't do something. And I don't know who's watching right now over the internet or might be listening over the radio. If God's tugging your heart, do something. One of our founding fathers, and I can't remember who it is right now, but he said one of the things is, well, disaster happens when good people just do nothing. And so just to do whatever you can, just a voice in the grocery line may be enough. But tell people, when people say to you how rotten things are, say, well, don't you know about what's going on in Slidell? And they don't know. I can't tell you how many people I've talked to who were so down on our community when I started telling them all the things that was happening. I didn't know that. And I'm thinking, where are you living? In a vacuum? We're trying to get the word out. Listen to 103.7 FM. It'll tell you a lot. Come visit our church. You know, just get involved. Let's spread the word that God is well and alive and working in our community. The prayers of our founding fathers, over and over, I found a repetition. They prayed for their posterity. That's you with a capital P. They prayed for you. Benjamin Franklin wanted this thing to go on. If we could keep it, we can, but we must. You know, back to my buddy Adam, when I started off reading that scripture, he forfeited the job. He did what he wasn't supposed to do. He gave up his freedom. He brought death, and we all suffer the consequences. Let's not forfeit our job. Let's do what we can, where we can. And let's make a difference. Amen? Amen? Let's all stand. Dr. Preston, Lisa, thank you for being here. We really enjoyed it. I want you to come back some more. The doors are always open if you need a format. And if you want to meet Dr. Preston, please say hello to he and his wife. You know, I always feel bad, Lisa. I keep calling you Lisa and him Dr. Preston. You're Dr. Preston, too. You know, together, the two shall become one, all right? So just stop and say hello to him. You can meet Jay, who's here, and get some other people who are new here today to tell him hello. Don't grab a hold of him and not turn loose. Just say, hello, how you doing? How's your mom and them? And then move on so somebody else can have a few words, all right? Hallelujah. How great it is to be here. Bob, why don't you come up here and take this microphone and dismiss us in prayer, if you don't mind. Bob will be here on the 18th of the month, and he'll be speaking for us on Father's Day.
Amen. 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 Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for who you are. Yes. Father, you've shown the way. Father, sometimes our eyes look left and they look right, and they're not looking at you, but looking at what's around us. And Father, we just want to keep our eye on you this morning. Yes. Father, you are truth, you are grace, you're a light, you're a life. And Lord, without you, as we sang earlier this morning, without you, we have nothing. Father, we thank you for Dr. Preston and Dr. Preston for that which they bring to us this morning. Father, bless their life, bless their ministry, bless the things that they're doing in this community. Give them the strength that they need, the wisdom that they need. And Father, while we can applaud their accomplishments so far, there's still more to be done. and I believe the best is yet to come. We thank you, Lord, for our time together today. We ask your blessings this week as we go through the week, that we may walk through this week in boldness for Jesus Christ, that our words may be strong, that our heart may be full, a smile on our lips, a lift in our step, a spark in our eye, all because Jesus is Lord and he lives within us. Bless us this day. Bless the rest of the day. Keep us safe as we travel in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
You're dismissed in the name of the Lord.